This is Sunday, November the 20th, 1994. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Am I on? I don't think so.
Try it again.
Well, I can tell that I'm on now. EJ didn't want any static. We're going to change our format a little bit. It doesn't mean I'm going to lecture less. It means that we'll have more substance, possibly, about which to speak. The piles, incredible piles of inquiries and information that pour through here are so gratefully accepted, and it's very hard to decide what to accept, what to leave out. And always you think, well, next week there'll be more room. Maybe Commander won't ride as much, or Ceres will shut up or do something. Well, you have the best of your worlds coming together in your becoming known. And always remember that the old saying is, it's darkest before the dawn. That is to be a little bit encouraging in that solutions do come, but to properly arrive at conclusions and precipitate that or manifest that which you're after requires a lot of attention. You don't just go out and God showers it on you. You have to be very careful about who you go to, where you go. You have to have something to barter to make it worthwhile for the other one to want to serve with you instead of just go on and squash you. These are things that I am beginning to wean a little bit. And when I mean wean, I mean push you a little farther into your own thought processes so that you begin to see the possibilities rather than wait for the precipitation. Some will never be able to do that in this area, especially because you're not going to have the authority simply because of sequence. You can't butt into my business, neither can Dorma go down and tell them what to emphatically put in the paper that she may want in there. They will listen pretty much to what I suggest, but it doesn't even pay to run what she suggests most of the time. We're up against it right now. In fact, I'll talk about it a little bit because I want ones out there in the listening audience and in the reading audience to understand the kind of confrontations that we have here. And a prime example this very day that has been increasing in interchange over the last week is that the more information that we have gleaned. And you see, you can't just go out there and use information that I give you. That isn't going to hold up in a court of law. If I give you a suggestion, it still means you have to follow up on it until you get the answers in some kind of form acceptable to a judge in a court of law. That's called proof. There's some things you're not ever going to be able to prove. There are other things, however, that become very logical. And there are records. But you have limitations on how much money you can spend. You see, you were given a pledge for funds for fighting a case. Specifically in the loaning or the provision of funds, which, by the way, have not arrived, so it's still hypothetical either way. You have a situation where it was stated right off the bat, right off the bat, that it could not be used as a settlement. In other words, you're not going to be able to just say, oh, well, throw up my hands, I would rather pay off a settlement than any more legal fees. No, that's not why your attorneys are in the case. Number one, that is why, not why your attorneys are in the case. And when I say your, I'm talking about the Constitutional Law Center. You've got a lot of cases to be fought out there in the front of you. And you're going to have to build your reputation, and you're going to have your lawyers with the confidence behind them to go out there and stand for the Constitution. You will not find Jerry Spence cowering to anyone. In fact, he has a brilliant observation to make about Judge Ito and the O.J. Simpson case. Once you have decided you're going to be a television personality and make your, no matter if it is different from the case in point, to go out there and now become a television star does not bode well for any defendant. Simply because of the notoriety. And because he was a minority person and spent time in a Japanese incarceration camp while you protected them from yourselves, makes him an object of public either sympathy or antithesis, because they are angry that anyone would participate in an entertainment manner, even if it's just biographical. And Spence says, I don't have any dislike for Ito, but it seems to me that this has jeopardized the case. You've got to have a lot of people like Jerry Spence who can go out and basically win the case on law from the opening statement. And you see, I could give them the statement to make in the US&P case. And you've got all the rules to back it up. They have held Dorma in contempt of court under threat of federal incarceration for speaking derogatorily or insultingly or whatever about US&P. And she didn't speak about him at all. I did. Well, all right, now we have a real problem. Is this an actual communication, or is this a dual personality? Because you see, I'm very willing to go on the stand also, but they're not willing to have me there. It's easier for the judge to pronounce judgment that they will accept her as me. Well, right off, you are handling it incorrectly, but you're stuck with that. That's what he has said, that's what he will do. So you have some alternatives. You can go before the magistrate, ask for a hearing there. On the other hand, does Doris have anything to do with what runs in contact paper? Well, all of you would say, well, yeah, she probably does. But does she, corporate-wise? So she can capitulate and say, I, Doris, will never write another thing about US&P. Well, what happens when I want to write about US&P? She can refuse, and I will honor it. But does that mean that I cannot go over to Rick, tell him what to write, and him write it? In this case, they will put her in jail anyway, you see. Because you have no justice. But things aren't looking so good for the background layout, foundation of this university. It is founded upon the premise that this was a superbly, divinely oriented man. But Lau says he was humanistic. And his teacher guide, or the one that he thought religiously to be the most exacting and the most correct, was Mary Baker Eddy of Christian Science. I'm not here to define or to comment on the validity of such a statement. But it's a little bit like Judeo-Christian. The two are opposites. You cannot be a humanist and a divinely spiritual being. You can move through these, but you will either be divinely spiritual or you will have a humanistic orientation by definition. Now, you may mean something different in your mind, but when you're in a court of law, they're going to define it according to Webster's Dictionary or Black's Law Dictionary. And if you can go on back into Bouvier's, you're more apt to get justice. Because, you see, with a jury, it should be beyond a doubt. Now, are you trying to prove fraud? Are you trying to prove plagiarism? Cannot God repeat himself? Is it plagiarism if one goes out and copies the Bible? Or the Talmud, or. Well, the Jews would say you may not copy the Talmud because they don't want the information out there. They don't want the truth out there. So, first of all, you've got to define what kind of information, what are you working with? And can you prove that the speaker is not indeed the author? Just because he's invisible, does that mean he no longer exists? If you believe in God, you must believe the soul energy exists. Well, not my God, the Zionist will tell you. Come again. What is the Zionist claiming? Remember, Freemasonry, Jewish, came in the late 1700s, the word, the term. Remember those Khazarians? Well, I have bad news for you. Those are the adversary's children come to this planet for the very purpose that they have fulfilled. And all of the antagonistic adversarial role toward the human expression and incarceration of the human being, enslavement of the race, or races, if you wish to put it that way, are from aliens. But then you were once aliens to this planet. Some of you still are. And everything going on about you is alien. Because to a reasonable, ordered, organized mind, nothing makes sense. They lie about the lies about the lies. Well, yes, it confuses you. But they never lose sight of the goal, which is supremacy. And do you think Mr. Bergstein down here on the corner knows this? No, he would be the first to curse the Masons, curse the Christians, and everyone else, only to find out they're all the same thing, aren't they? That's what you have to learn about your political parties. They are after the same thing. Their goals are absolutely the same thing. It's just a matter of who's going to be the big shot. So I have to remind you, you go with the group and support the group that at least can accept freedom and Christianity and Constitution as a guideline, because they're all after the power and the money. And God has the power, and the adversary usually has the money. And it seems unfortunate, doesn't it? Well, if you've got the power, you've also got the capability of getting the money. As long as you use it right. The minute you get it for adversarial purposes, you don't deserve to have it. You know it, and you'll lose it. So all of these months and years of growing are necessary. And you're impatient. Well, I'm impatient. It seems we could do a little bit faster, a little bit better. But we have to carefully consider things. Now, US&P has come forth with a possible settlement. $25,000 and all the retractions, especially, get this one, about the connection with Tavistock. Now, why would that bother them?
Because it's true.
Do I mind making a retraction? Certainly Dorma doesn't mind making a retraction. She's never met him at Tavistock. But how can she make a retraction? She's the point of the case. But they're expecting Contact to make the retraction. Is Contact willing to do that? I don't know. I've said nice things about them. Go get your books from them. Just use discernment. I disagree with their spiritual attitudes. I don't disagree with their method of meditation. My conclusions are different. Does that mean I hate them? No, I really appreciate them. These have been the greatest lessons that Walter Russell ever could have offered to mankind. Just in this one controversy. I certainly am not interested in ruining whatever value is left in Walter Russell's passage through this place. Some of the scientific data is absolutely wrong. He interpreted it incorrectly. But the basic diagrams, the basic concept, the basic thought of God is manifest, is all there is. He tells you the components, and he visualized how they might fit very well together. And he could quarrel on the issue of what is gravity. Not actually from what Newton actually said and projected, but from what has been handed down, as if Newton had said it. And how can you tell what Newton said? He wrote in an alien language, which was translated by the mistress of Voltaire, who didn't understand a flipping word she wrote. And neither did Voltaire. So in everything, you have discernment and perception. And if, as Mr. Binder claimed, they would be proud to have the Crown Prince of Britain, meaning Covenant Land, Brett, Covenant Land is Ain, A-I-N, in Jewish, Yiddish, Hebrew. On their board of directors, why would it be so openly denied? I don't care whether Charles is on the board of directors of, it doesn't matter. I'd kind of like it if he were on the board of directors of the Institute, quite frankly. I feel a little sorry for the poor little thing. Well, you see, that's from a male perspective. I don't know how this will work out, but I'll tell you right off the bat. The Eckers don't have anything, so $25,000 is completely out of any kind of consideration. Dorma's already told them she won't ever even mention the term US&P again as long as she lives. Neither is she going to pay them anything because she doesn't have it and they won't take food stamps. So what are we working with? Why have we gone through all this? And she really wonders as things get very tight and very heavy and very hard and very nasty, you know, insulting. Why in the world do we do this? Terry, don't you understand? You could have settled before it started. But they want you to come into the courtroom and under oath lie. And she refused to do that. While the judge is practically saying, will you please sign this document? I can't sign that document. Those books are not mine. Well, bring some members of the board down here and let's get them to be yours so you can sign them away. Well, that won't help. I don't have $46,000, Your Honor. Just sign it. They've got to collect it. Well, they can't collect it because I don't have it. Then what are we worried about? Sign the document. Because it breaks my word. I know I don't have it. And you will bring a judgment against me eventually. And then like Mr. Methvin, you will blanket every county in California with a lien to make sure you get your money. When the facts are, all you have to do is go back to court with Mr. Methvin. He never got a release in the first place. You see, you don't have a court of justice. You have a bunch of lawyers wanting their money. So we're not settling issues with US&P over issues. Obviously, we don't just at random use anything. So if, in fact, we use every word of Walter Russell's work, should have been the highest honor they could get. But they don't believe we're who we say we are. They have been told a different story. And the worst thing that comes out of it is the inability to cross that bridge now and work together on the parts that are right. On the parts that are right. And look and see what happens on the parts that are incorrect. To go ahead and fight this thing, it is obvious now that probably the divorce in Reno, Nevada was unlawful. And within just a matter of days, mere weeks, Walter married Lau, and they cannot even decide how to spell her name. The papers of Nevada of the day called her Loa, which is right. More important is her background. She comes out of the hierarchy or the blue book of England, Britain, the covenant land. And she came into his life in her early 40s, I believe, and he was in his 70s. And now, the documents are there. He did not contribute to his prior family's living financially in any way for some 10 to 12 years before that divorce. And then he settled. This millionaire, this poverty-stricken millionaire that was able to go buy Swannanoa Palace in Virginia, 200 and some odd acres and a palace on it, settling for 53 years of marriage on $100 a month, alimony. Doesn't seem right to me. Just doesn't seem quite fair to me. So something's wrong in this pile of wood. Do I care? Yes, I do. I do because I know this man. And I know that in the human aspect of the sensing world, which he had so fully become aware, he could no more have not fallen captive of this beautiful woman than he could fly off the Empire State Building. He wasn't ready. He didn't have all of it. And at that moment in his life, he would have chosen the woman over flying. And that's just the way it is. And we have no wish to go in there and hurt any religious belief. Man will come into knowing God when man opens up his heart and looks in reason. And all the rest is an experience. My only purpose, if you will, is to see to it that you have the ability to make those choices in knowing, in knowledge. And then if you choose to go jump off the Empire State Building or run off with a little girl and you're old, do it. But know your consequences. And know how many times in your life, after you leave that dimension, you're going to have to try to figure in the worst of circumstances how to get your truth back again before the people. Shut up, Dorma, that's easy. But very possibly, if we shut her ability to receive from him, you have effectively shut him up. Now, we know the possibilities involved here. And to relieve her mind so that she can make decisions to fit the need of the moment, so we can get on with the bigger mission. I don't make her make these decisions. I've already told her. We don't need any of that work to get our work done. That is a gift to Walter Russell. And if he has to go longer without fulfillment of his mission, so be it. Those are the consequences of our actions. And that's not for us to judge. What's going to have to be confronted is, what do we do? And she says, well, I don't have any alternative. We keep going until they drop the silliness of wanting money. And then I guess if they want to go and dicker with Rick and Ed over what is run in the paper, that's up to them. Will I quit writing? She has to confront herself. No. Because she's but a secretary. And if I want to write on this subject, I will do so. You may have to be a little bit cautious about what you publish and how you publish it. But I want to guarantee you that as long as you have your constitution in any form whatsoever, it can now be placed into a religious or spiritual aspect. And the saddest part of all will be that the very one who offered it will be bypassed in favor of somebody who drew different pictures. And that is because man cannot communicate with man. Because I want to tell you something. Timothy Binder is a good, good man. He knows a lot about healing. He knows a lot about foods. He knows a lot about the subject of light. He just doesn't know what's real. He doesn't know how to use it. And wouldn't it be better to be working on the same side than his adversaries? But maybe that will never be. So that brings us into confrontation with other things that spring forth from this well. You had ones experiencing here with you. There is no higher expert on the subject of religions than was Lonnie Cleaver. And it would be interesting, you see, to be able to sit with him and tell him why he has been driven to do this. Who he was and why he's driven to do what he does and has become so good at. Because he's seeking. All men are seeking their spiritual oneness with God. And where do you go to get it? You have to experience all these religions because that somehow is connected with God. No, it isn't. Evil is a religion. And you can religiously believe anything you want to. So what man is really seeking is truth and the way. And he knows he can't get it by way of another man. And just believing and saying, well, there must be a Hatton. I know, I've got it made now because I believe there is a space command. Well, bully for you. There are restrictions, limitations, either or conditions placed on going aboard any captain's ship. And mine happens to be, you will not bring evil aboard my craft because I am the conduit that takes you into the higher dimensions. Hopefully many of you in your physical form so that we can make a justifiable, reasonable transition for many beings. I know my place, I know who I am, I know where I'm going, I know where I've been. And I know those conditions. It doesn't mean that I cannot unconditionally love each and every one of you. But I will follow my instructions because my instructions are all incomprehensibly all bigger than anything you can fathom. But within those laws of universal truth of the creation and of my creator, my parent. And that's one of the restrictions. Evil will not be allowed in the place of God. That is for your place. And all those little low primitive experiences until you grow into the creative ability that builds universes. On Monday will be filed a motion for a summary judgment. And most of it will be based on what Lonnie Cleaver wrote in an affidavit of his evaluation of this. This does not mean that he will not be at trial should it go on to trial. But these are very, very important steps for you as a budding, birthing, little non-group trying to find your place and your attachments. We've struggled to keep it out of all religious aspects. We've struggled to keep it out of all membership aspects so that nobody could come and dump cult on you. And if they did, it could not stick. And to allow you to be able to form your business operations in a most completely integrity-based foundation and yet work within the system that exists around you. Learning to look at alternatives and utilizing the tools given to you. You cannot just wish this all away. Wishing will never cut it. Believing will do it. And when you know that you can do it, it's done. Until then, you're going to sit and wish, and wishes are just fantasies. Some of them may come true if you're lucky. If you're smart, you do not depend on luck. You get informed, and then you go for it. So today we're going to share what Lonnie has written about this, and we would discuss it. There's something that I would like to present first, because Ann Forbes of South Africa wrote an urgent appeal. She's going to meet with a Harvard professor on television or radio or something in South Africa, and oh God, what do I tell them? I must know the exact agreement made between aliens and Earth. Well, I've had to explain that away, you know. It ain't like that. And who's going to believe it if you had it in your hand notarized? And I think you'll find that interesting. And I want to share it with the listeners, see. So we have to take into consideration what we're doing here. And then I took time this morning because of the load. I just need every now and then to set Dharma down and express some of the things that are going through all of your minds. How do we stay in the light? How in the world do we hold to truth with all of this swirling mass of negativity? And some will tell you, and this will be a Walter Russell suggestion. Cast it aside. Don't look at it. How in the world can you reach a destination without looking at it? You confront it. You purposefully say, I refuse to empower it. But for goodness sakes, you have to face it. Or you won't ever know what hit you. So let's start, please, with Anne's letter and our response. And we'll kind of rip through this and let's see how far we can get. We're going to need to talk about a few things. It's like Emmanuel and the Talmud, Emmanuel, and they called his name Emmanuel. As I take these segments, don't go to those other books. The reason that we wrote the book we wrote was so you would not do that. I don't care how many times you read that book that Deardorff wrote or these other people. That can only help the concept be accepted, to have many, many out there. But if you're going to try to prove something that I have written by one of these others, you're not going to make it. And I'm really get picky as we get on into there. Because you have to remember something. It was very difficult to write in those days. And most didn't get written. And most was still perception. And I don't care what you call Isu Emmanuel. He never wrote a thing. Does that mean he couldn't write? Quite frankly, I don't know. It never even bothered me enough to find out whether or not Isu, Jesus, Emmanuel, whatever you want to call him, could write or not. So you must go with concept always. But you have to know enough of the details of the Pharisee element of that day to realize what transpired and what happened to your good Christ. So I'll quiet.
This letter is to Commander Hatton. Urgent, urgent, urgent from South Africa. Dear Commander, on Tuesday, 22nd November, Carol Spaeth and I have been invited onto national TV in order to discuss alien abductions with visiting Harvard professor of psychiatry, John Mack, who also authored a book on abductions, seemingly unobtainable here in South Africa. In the journal Spacegate, among others, you confirm that a meeting took place during which agreements were entered into. Please, could we have the absolute terms of that agreement in order to refute the obvious disinformation we are bound to be confronted with, most of which seems to go along the lines that agreement was reached that mankind could be abducted and experimented, cloned, frankly, sexually abused, mind-altered, etc., in return for technology and evolution. This, they tell us, is more often than not done by Zeta Reticuli of all varieties, gray, reptilian, tall, small, etc., ad nauseum, often in the presence of other alien species, mainly from the Pleiades. The strategy is obvious, but without the absolute terms of the agreement, it will be very hard to destroy the credibility of a professor from Harvard in the eyes of our very naive viewers, not to mention religionists. Oh yes, the world order are very hard at work here in South Africa, and unless we can seize on this rare, in South Africa at least, opportunity for media coverage in order to warn on this latest in their arsenal of strategies, the 70% demise of 1997 of our population, Ron Jackson warned in reply to a letter to me, will come about. Obviously, we will also try and use this opportunity to blow the whistle on Project Bluebeam. Please fax your reply to me by Monday at the latest, bearing in mind that we are some 8 to 10 hours ahead of you in time, California at least. My fax number is so-and-so. Salut, greetings, and our unfailing gratitude for the logic of the truth that you bring.
Let me tell you that those people in South Africa are experiencing the worst times of their existence. And it's already coming back out. You know, Mandela goes prancing up and dancing and shaking hands, etc. And all the world is going to be good. It's like Haiti. Just get Papa back here and perfection will strike all of us. Africa is in worse turmoil, confusion, and misery than it has ever been. Ever been. And now what do the people do? They know it. They know they've been had again. And pretty soon, you will find them just dying. And that's the plan, of course.
I'm going to stop and turn the tape right here.